of people live in denial. What happened to me in the past doesn't take away my worth. My worth is determined by who I am with God, not what my past says I was. Amen?
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host. At Straight Talk, we want to get straightforward biblical teaching about things that matter most. And today, Pastor Mark Jobe is going to be giving a second part of a message called Shedding Your Shame. And this is from a series titled Facing Your Feelings. And our feelings are something sometimes we avoid, we run from, or we have a sense of guilt about just the fact that we feel a certain way. But what we find is that in the scriptures, God addresses our feelings head on. Even Jesus had feelings, and even Jesus embraces people in all of these different feelings. And so today, as we look at shedding your shame, we find that many times our shame drives us from God, keeps us from our purpose, and God wants to help us to embrace Him in the middle of what you're feeling. And so we're praying today that this message would meet you right where you are. And I believe that there are some people today who are going to be incredibly touched. And so as we get into this message, we pray, Jesus, speak to our hearts, set us free from our shame, and allow us to live the divine destiny you've called us to. Amen.
Several years ago, I was helping to start a church on the north side of Chicago, and we were just gathering people, and a whole core was coming together. And a woman, after church, she said, I need to meet with you, Pastor. And so I sat down to talk with her, and I knew that she was nervous when she was about to talk with me. And she looked down, and she shuffled her feet a lot, and she kind of was beaten around the bush. And I finally said, well, tell me, what's the issue? She said, if I tell you the issue, I think I may not be allowed in this church. I think you may ask me not to come or kick me out. I shouldn't come to the church. I would understand. I felt the shame in her, that sense that I was normal until you know, but now that you know, you may reject me. I felt that tension, like, is he going to pull back? And I just felt the Spirit of God say to my heart, get up and give her a huge hug. So I walked over there and I hugged her. I said, what in the world makes you think that you couldn't be a part of this church? Absolutely, we want you here. We love you, and so does God. And I felt her melt at that moment, like those were the words that she needed to hear from God Himself. Shame, private shame, that makes us feel like there's something dysfunctional, something unlovable, something about us that if people knew, they would immediately walk away from us. This woman had been physically weak, financially depleted, socially alienated, spiritually isolated, emotionally exhausted, because the enemy takes our shame and he uses our shame to browbeat us down. He uses our shame to make us feel unworthy. He uses our shame to bring a dark cloud over us. The second thing that I want you to understand about shame is not only will it drive you to suffer silently, but shame will also shape your approach to God and to others. Verse 27 says that when this woman heard about Jesus, she made her way through the crowd, knowing that if the crowd only knew that she was unclean, they would avoid her. But she made her way through the crowd, it says, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment or his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Now, I see a struggle here. I see at one point that faith is driving her to Jesus. She feels, if I just touch him, God will touch me. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. She heard about Jesus, and her faith was empowered. Some of the baptisms that you heard today were people that heard, that had a friend tell them about Jesus. And they said, we want to go. She heard about Jesus. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That's faith. Faith is believing that, yes, you are there, God, and if I seek you and follow after you, I know that good things come from you, God. So her faith was driving her through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, but her shame was keeping her from seeing Jesus face to face. I want you to notice that she approached Jesus from the back just to touch the hem of his garment. In her mind, she replayed how she would approach Jesus, just touch his clothes. She didn't say, I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to look at him. He's going to look at me, because shame tells you if he sees you, he'll reject you. She didn't imagine the eyes of Jesus full of compassion. She imagined touching the hem of his garment, not looking at his face. You see, when you're full of shame, when you carry the box of shame around with you, it affects the way you approach people. Some of you let no one come close to you because you're afraid that if they only knew what's inside that box, they would judge you. Some of you feel that very same way with God. You come into church and you feel like, I can touch the hem of his garment, but never see the fullness of his face. Look at me. Because if I saw the expression on his face, it would probably be one of anger or dissatisfaction or judgment or disapproval if God looked upon me. This woman approached Jesus. She reached out to touch the hem of his garment. And as she touched the hem of his garment, the Bible says, she said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Something happened to her when she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, but it affected the way that she approached Jesus. Number three, I'm talking about what shame does to your life. Shame will steal your celebration voice. Not only will it drive you to suffer silently, not only will it shape the way you approach God and others, but it will also steal your voice of celebration if you let it. I want you to look at the passage. It tells us that this woman, weak from her anemia, pressed through the crowd, knowing that if they knew she was unclean, they would not want to be touching her shoulder or even around her. But she pressed through the crowd and she reached out as best as she could to touch just the tassel of the hem of his garment. And finally, her fingers felt the edge of the robe of Jesus. And as soon as they did, there was something powerful that happened. She felt a jolt through her body. She felt the power of the Holy Spirit surge through her body. And she knew at that moment that she had been healed miraculously by the power of God. Something about people that reach out to Jesus with just simple childlike faith that God honors. That's why most Sundays I give an altar call. I invite people to come and reach out to God. You know why? Because I believe in the simple childlike faith that reaches out to God in simplicity, and the power of God comes with power and changes them. You know, I believe it because I believe the word, and because I've seen literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people transform that way. They can't explain the Trinity. They don't know what eschatology means. They're not experts in soteriology. They don't understand the difference between Calvinism and Arminianism or predestination. They don't know if they're amillennial or postmillennial. They don't even know there's a millennial in there. All they know is, I have a need in my life that I believe that only the power of Jesus can meet. And so I'm reaching out to him with simple faith, saying, Lord, I know I need you, and there's no one else that can touch me like you. I believe in the power of God to transform lives simply, powerfully, and immediately. But what strikes me about this woman is it says immediately her bleeding stopped. Say immediately. God can work like this. And she felt it in her body that she was healed, free from her suffering. She reached out and she touched Jesus, and immediately she knew, I'm healed. I feel it. The bleeding has stopped. The power has come. I don't know about you, but But if it was me and I knew I was healed, I would be jumping around, shouting. I'd be saying, I'm healed. Hey, I felt it. The power. 12 years. It's over. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I can't wait to celebrate, to shout out that God has healed me. I mean, I would be shouting, celebrating, high-fiving, bumping. I mean, I would let people know I've been touched. But this woman didn't have that reaction. She knew that she was healed. But shame had robbed her voice of celebration. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus stopped. And he said, who touched me? And his disciples were like, Jesus, are you kidding, man? Like, who touched you? I mean, everybody's around you. I mean, the crowd is pressing. He said, no. Someone, he was saying, who touched me in faith? Because Jesus felt power go out of him into her. And he says that he stopped and he said, who touched me? And he asked, he turned around in the crowd and he asked the crowd, who touched me? She knew that it was her. But instead of jumping out and saying, me, it's me, thank you, Jesus, she cowered and hid away in the crowd. And the Bible says that Jesus kept asking, who touched me? And kept looking around to see who had touched him. But because of her shame, she hid and her voice was silenced. There's some of you here that have been touched by the power of God in a service, in a meeting, during worship, where God has touched you, healed you, saved you, empowered you. Some of you have given your life to Christ, but you've never raised a voice to give him the honor and the glory. You've never shouted out his name. You've never praised him, never given him honor and glory. You've never come public about what God has done in your life because shame has robbed your voice. Inside, you know that God has touched you, but shame tells you you're not worthy of that. Who do you think you are? And because you have shame in your life, you're afraid to say, I surrender my life to Jesus. He's touched me, changed me, saved you. I'm a child of his, because you think, no, how could I, with who I am, be accepted by God? It's like when you've been shouting at a New Year's Eve party, and the next day you want to tell someone they've done a good job, and you say, you've done a good job. Your voice is not there, you know. Your voice has been stolen. I think there's a whole bunch of people whose voices have been stolen because of shame.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Shedding Your Shame. It's from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Facing Your Feelings. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of our message and give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago, as well as information about his book, Unstuck. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 24. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Shedding Your Shame.
The enemy has silenced you. Shut your mouth. You can't even say, yes, I have been forgiven. I know it. I've felt it. I've experienced it. I am a son of the Most High God. I'm a child of God. I'm willing to get baptized, because there's shame inside of you. And you think, what if I fail again? What if I blow it? What if I'm not? Who am I? Look at all the dirt and garbage inside of me. You are driven by shame instead of by faith. And so let me just say this. Man, I have only a few minutes to close this up, and I want you to hear me very well, because this story concludes with the three steps that help you break the power of shame. Are you ready here? Because some of you need to break the power of shame. Some of you have been suffering and silent for a long time with shame in your life. Verse 32 says, but Jesus kept looking around. I love the fact that Jesus didn't ask just once. He kept looking. No, I'm going to call you out, lady. I know that power has come out of me. And so he kept looking around to see who had done it. Verse 33. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. Here's what I see. To break the power of shame, it starts by admitting the truth in your own story. The Bible says, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, no one else knew, but she knew. No one else knew that she had this hemorrhaging in her life. The crowd didn't know, but she knew. You see, she had to know and admit to herself, first of all, that this was her story. A lot of people live in denial. A lot of people try to act like, no, it's not my story. Even though you know it's your story, you try to act like, no, that's not my story. You try to block it out. You try to act like it didn't happen. You try to distance yourself from it. You keep running from it. You still feel the hurt inside. Let me tell you, if you don't acknowledge your story, if you don't say, yeah, that is my story, but listen, my story does not define my worth. My past does not dictate how valuable I am in the present. What happened to me in the past doesn't take away my worth. My worth is determined by who I am with God, not what my past says I was. Amen? So some of you need to embrace your story. Yeah, that is a part of my story. Yet I did struggle with suicide. Yeah, I did have 3 abortions. Yeah, I have had 4 divorces. Yes, I was molested. Yes, I was bullied in school. Yes, I did go bankrupt. Yes, I have struggled with this problem in my life. I have had addiction issues in my life. That is part of my story. I admit it. I admit it. Shame, I'm not going to let you keep me down. I admit that it's a part of my story, but that does not take away my value. That does not dictate my future. That just tells you what I struggled with in my past. And then the Bible says that this woman, not only she knew inside what had happened, but the Bible says that trembling with fear, she told him the whole story. You see, not only admitting, but telling the whole truth about your story. And by the way, this wasn't a private counseling session between her and Jesus. Guess who else was listening? The whole crowd. So this woman who had lived with shame for so long, embarrassed, feeling broken, unworthy, now she kneels in front of Jesus and she looks him in the face and she tells him her whole story. For 12 years I've been bleeding. I haven't hugged my husband. I can't touch my children. I've been to the doctors. I'm unclean and I touched you. I'm unclean and I rubbed shoulders with all these people around you. I'm unworthy, but yet I feel like I am healed. She tells the whole story. Let me tell you something. There's something about taking the box of shame and saying, I'm not hiding this anymore. Guess what? This is it. Come on, light. Shine in the darkness. Shame, you have no power over me anymore. I'm not hiding my story. I'm not hiding my brokenness. I'm not hiding my problems. I'm bringing it to the light because the only power that shame has is the power that it has when I feel like I have to hide what has happened to me. That's the power of shame. But the power of shame is broken when I bring it to the light and I say, yeah, that is my story. This is the whole truth. But it doesn't define me because Jesus has stepped in and I'm valuable and worthy. In spite of my brokenness, he still loves me. Shame, you have no power. She told the whole truth. And I'm sure there was a moment after she told the truth, there was a pause, there was a silence, there was a moment in which she felt like the judgment of the crowd or the anger of Jesus may say to her, woman, why did you touch me? Because now I'm unclean if you touch me. She held her breath, I'm sure, expecting the judgment and the fury of this man named Jesus. How could she have the audacity to even touch him? And the first word that she hears from Jesus He says, daughter, not woman, not lady, not unclean. He hears the tone of a father that says to this lady, daughter, you're mine. I claim you. You're a child of mine. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what's happened to you or what you've done. I claim you as my own. I call you daughter. There's something powerful about that. Something healing about that the Father is calling some of you son. You say, I don't feel worthy to be called his son. And you're not. Neither am I. But in the midst of our brokenness and craziness, the Holy Lamb of God reaches and says, son, daughter, be free from your suffering. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And be freed from your suffering. I don't know about you, but that touches a deep chord inside of my heart. The acceptance of God. The deep, powerful, unconditional love of the Father. Psalms 34, verse 4 and 5 says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear that I'm unlovable, fear that I can never be forgiven. Those who look to him are radiant. That means there's a shine about their face. Those who look to him are radiant. And then it says, and their faces, listen, and their faces, hear me well, and their faces are never covered with shame. If you know the Lord and you know his love and you know his power, your face will never be covered with shame. Because you know the forgiveness and the power that he has to call you his own, to wash and cleanse you. And no matter what your story is, to embrace you and hug you and say, you belong to me. That is the power of God. He breaks the power of shame. He breaks the power of condemnation. That is the powerful love of God. And I know that some of you that came here today, you have been living with private shame, deep pain in your heart. It defines you. It molds you. It weighs you down. It does not allow you to love and be loved. It does not allow you to be worshipped. Some of your voices of celebration have been stolen. Even when God does good in your life, you can't celebrate the way you need to because you feel like, am I worthy of celebrating? Is it true? And today, I believe some need to regain a voice of celebration. Some of you need to gain your voice back and not let shame stop you. You need to understand that the power of shame is broken. It's not about how you feel. It's about what faith tells you. It's about what the Word of God has declared over you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I want you to stand with me. You need to accept the truth of God's story. When he says, daughter, believe it. When he says, son, believe it. When he says, you are forgiven, believe it. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel forgiven. Your feelings do not dictate your theology. The Word of God dictates your theology. A feeling of shame should not be the one that drives your life. The faith in God and what he declares over you should drive your life.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Facing Your Feelings, and tonight was the second half of his message called Shedding Your Shame. Join us again tomorrow for part two, Fighting Fear. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please do join us again tomorrow as we continue on in our series called Facing Your Feelings. Have a great night, and God bless.